Blog Talk Radio.
Thanks for tuning in to Unscripted, presented by Be Unique Magazine, because an authentic life is unscripted. Be Unique is a 501c3 charity that works today to change tomorrow. Learn more at our website, beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.org. Did you know that Be Unique is a free, non-profit publication? We work today to change tomorrow by bringing you truly amazing guests like the one we'll introduce tonight, and by highlighting stories about people all over the world who will astound you. The free digital version is available 24/7 at beunique.org. That's BUNEKE.org.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Mary Brotherton, the editor-in-chief of Be Unique Magazine and your host here at Be Unique Unscripted. We are having a little difficulty getting our co-host and guest online today, but that doesn't mean we're going to stop the show. They'll be in shortly. I've sent them another invitation, and I will tell you a little bit about who we have talked to, but just give me half a moment here. I'm going to play a little song for you, and we're going to go, let's see what we got here. Let's just listen to this for a minute. And I didn't want to interfere that with my typing. Today, we're supposed to be talking with Heidi Tobey, a holistic health coach. And we had talked with her previously in September, but we had some difficult issues then as well as today. Heidi is, like I said earlier, a health coach, a holistic health coach. And when our show ended abruptly, we had been talking about sleep patterns and other issues related to how the body is related all together. You know, we are one system, but we have many systems within that system. And we talked briefly about We talked about functional medicine, and that's something new that Heidi's added to her practice. It's natural, holistic, and she uses nutrition to help turn disease around. I am not sure. Let's try to call a guest and see if that works. Listen to some more music while I do this.
Maybe I didn't treat you quite as good as I should have. Maybe I didn't love you quite as often as I could have. Little things I should have said and done, I just never took the time. You were always on my mind. You were always on my mind.
And there, maybe I. Tyrell, is that Tyrell?
Yes, that is me.
Hello, Tyrell. Let me see if I can do
hello,
the same
hello.
Thing. I'm hoping that I have Heidi's phone number. Give me a minute. Tyrell, I'm going to let you just talk a little bit and entertain our guests while I find Heidi. Can you handle
okay.
that? Do some improv for me, buddy.
Of course. I guess, however many people are out there, the 1 million that are listening, Tyrell here, everyone's favorite. No one's least favorite. That's always the best thing.
I love it.
I know you guys have been like, where has he been? Well, it's difficult saving the world. But no, just been a lot busy sometimes. Things will conflict and stuff and whatnot. But I am back and better than ever. So, yeah, if you ever want to call, just dial 911 to heaven because I'm the lead angel. Excited to be back. Excited for.
Let me see if that's Heidi there. Hold on a second. I don't know if she. No, she's still in hold. Oh, go ahead. Keep on talking. Save the world some more.
Okay. Save the world some more. So, if anyone's wondering what I'm up to, I'm actually up to a few things. I recently just got signed into a new agency, so I'm excited about that. I'm on the cusp of my second show, just finished my actual second episode. I've been in the middle of writing a lot of comedy sketches, doing a lot, just in the darkness of the abyss, so no one knows, no one can steal my ideas through, you know, the secret agent microphones that are in my house.
Oh, listen to you. So you're just working away, slaving away.
Working away. Yes, yes.
Deciding tell us what your survival job is, Tyrell.
I have three jobs, technically. I work at Halloween Horror Nights Universal. And that's kind of like my main job right now. And I work at a place called Nature's Table, which is healthy eating, I would say. And then I work at a place called John Casablancas, which is a modeling and acting agency. So I gotta say three, because all of them help me survive to a point.
Okay, let me see if this is Heidi here.
Okay.
Heidi, are you with us?
Hi, there you are.
Yay. You and I seem to have the most trouble with this podcast. That's okay. We're all here together.
We've got it now.
And we also have Tyrell. He is my co-host for today.
Okay.
Hello.
Tyrell, he's been very gracious while I was trying to dial you in to get you into the show to keep this show going, and he had some, you know, he was telling us a little bit about his day job, his night job,
uh-huh.
his real job.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
I had explained before I could even get Tyrell in that you had been with us in September, and our show got abruptly cut off about halfway through.
Yeah.
And Tyrell knows about where we left off. We were talking about sleeping and things of this nature. And I think you were just about to get on a roll with what you were saying, too.
I think we had been talking quite a bit about sleep and the importance of sleep and different things that you can do to help yourself get a better night's sleep.
So, Tyrell,
if we wanted to continue discussing sleep or moving on to what we call eating hygiene or anything else?
I have one question about sleep, seeing how that's kind of something I've kind of been dealing with lately. I don't really have a problem with getting to sleep, I would say. Anytime I'm tired, when it's time to go to sleep, I'm definitely going to sleep. My body shuts down. But some people have said too much or not enough or what is the exact amount, because I've come from someone who feels like there's not enough time in the day, especially when you work one or two jobs and you're there for maybe 12 to 16 hours out of the day, and you're supposedly sleeping, I guess, four, technically four of one day and four of the other, or however you go to sleep at whatever time. But theoretically, it's 8 hours. If they say 8 hours is the amount of sleep that you're supposed to be healthy, do you feel like you can survive thoroughly without 8 hours of sleep every single night?
Yeah, sure. I mean, everybody is different. They always, you know, recommend 8 hours of sleep, but for some people, 7 hours is sufficient, or six works for them. And a lot of it might have to do with the quality of sleep you're getting. You can be in bed for 8 or 9 hours and be restless and not get a good night's sleep. Or you might be able to be in bed for 5 or 6 hours, but if you're sleeping soundly and you get some deep sleep, you get some light sleep, your REM sleep, then you can wake up feeling much more rested, having actually been in bed less hours than somebody else. So I think the quality of sleep is very important too, not just how many hours.
And how do you get a proper quality, or like a great quality of sleep? Because I think I would definitely rather have less hours of sleep with better quality than, I guess, the quantity. Yeah, quality definitely better than quantity.
Yeah, like I said, depending on your schedule. Like I said, some people working a couple of jobs don't really have much choice, and they don't have the option of, you know, leisurely staying in bed for 8 or 9 or 10 hours a day. So that's where it comes into it's important to really set yourself up for good night's sleep. Like we were discussing in the first half, shutting down all electronics, you know, an hour at least before you go to bed, not sitting at your computer and doing stressful things, maybe paying bills or, you know, reading email and even just watching TV. The blue lights that are emitted from TVs and cell phones, tablets, computers, those actually help. They prevent your body from producing enough melatonin, which is necessary for you to fall asleep. So if you can dim the lights in your house, if you can have quiet, maybe try to be more relaxed. Don't get into, you know, big heavy discussions or watch the news right before going to bed. Relaxing things, read a book, have a cup of herbal tea. Make it a priority to start to wind down and start relaxing an hour before you actually go to bed. And also things like having a dark room, a comfortable temperature, not too hot, not too cold. Those things can stress your body out. Maybe, you know, reading for a few minutes in bed before going to sleep, or a warm bath, or a shower or something like that. And also maybe in not drinking too much caffeine later in the day, not drink even too much water within an hour or so before going to bed, because then you might have to wake up and you don't have to, you know, use the bathroom. You want to try to eliminate things that are going to cause you to wake up.
Right, right. And with noticing that you are a certified health coach, I used to be a wellness coach about I'm going to say 2 years back when I was adamantly in that field. And what do you feel like for maybe everybody, and not just the sense of being like, oh, well, we should all drink water. You know, everyone says we all should drink water. What is a main focus for whether, but for body types, whether you're trying to build, whether you're trying to lose weight, whether you're trying to sustain your diet, what do you feel like is a main key component to just making sure that your mind and your body stay on the same healthy level?
Good question. Again, I mean, everybody is different. So I think one of the main components would be for you to know your own body, to know your limits, to know what makes you happy, what feels good for you. I think eating as natural a diet as possible is definitely going to be good, probably across the board for everybody, keeping processed foods out of your life as much as possible, eating more natural foods, getting rest, getting exercise. That it's important too. Even if you're just walking, you know, get out in some fresh air, exercise, and try to make sure you find some joy in your life. Have some self-care. Do things for yourself that you enjoy every day, every week. A little bit of time for yourself. Meditation is a great practice. yoga is a good practice. And keeping your body hydrated, well-fed, and I think staying away from the things that are harmful to us, you know, the toxins and the processed foods, lots of sugar and caffeine consumption going on that keep us going and just keep our adrenal glands pumping out all those stress hormones all day to keep us going is, you know, it takes a toll on the body.
And with that being said, do you feel like it's more, because you said processed food, because I know that there's some people always go, well, I can go vegan and just eat, you know, stuff from the store. And it's like, well, that stuff is still processed. When you say just natural food is possible, do you try to stay away from like meats and chicken and stuff like that out of your diet? I know people have like range free or if they actually own a farm and they have those animals there and they take care of them. Do you try to stay away from meats and like chickens and stuff like that and stick technically to like a vegan diet or vegetarian diet, or is it more of just you trying to make sure your food is natural?
Not necessarily. Different diets work better for different people. You know, one person might just absolutely thrive on a vegan diet, whereas somebody else, you know, they try it, that doesn't work for them, they don't feel good on a vegan diet. Having more animal protein in their diet works for them. Everybody's different, but I do think that it's important, no matter what type of diet you choose, to try to stay with foods that are less processed. Like instead of, you know, a can of vegetables, which is a highly processed and it's heat processed and canned, and there's hardly any nutrients left in a can of green beans, as opposed to getting fresh green beans from the farmer's market, or even frozen green beans are probably the next best thing, because they're usually picked and flash frozen while they're still pretty fresh. So the difference between the quality of the food that you choose, no matter what diet you choose, go for the best quality that you can afford. And if you can't always afford to buy organic, that's fine. There are perfectly, you know, acceptable natural foods that are conventionally grown. And it's going to be better than buying, you know, a highly processed, you know, a box of cheap macaroni and cheese is not as going to be, it's not as nutritious for you as, you know, fresh produce. And as far as meats go, I know there's a lot of controversy out there about the how healthy meat can be. But if you're choosing animal products that were raised humanely, not on factory farms, I really hate factory farmed animals. It's just horrendous how they treat the animals. And a sick animal is going to produce sick food for us too. Sometimes farmers markets, you can get to know ranchers there too. Eggs from chickens that have been out grazing in a pasture and just leading a normal chickeny life are going to produce higher quality eggs than the chickens that are under stress.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
I have a question. What is a chickeny life all about?
Oh, chickens love to get out in the sunshine, and they like to scratch in the dirt. They like to eat grubs and bugs, and that's why you see them sometimes in farms following behind pastures after cows have been in there. It's like a natural cycle of life. Cows go through and eat the grasses and leave manure down there, which attracts, you know, bugs and that, and the chickens follow behind them. They eat bugs. They scratch around in the dirt, which kind of tills the earth and works the manure into it, just regenerating life for more fresh grass for the next time the cows come through the pasture. So I guess a chickeny life would be just getting some sunshine and fresh air and being allowed to act like a chicken and, you know, scratch around and peck around. Chickens that are mass farmed or whatever they call it when they put them in those chicken houses, they often get their beaks clipped off so that they can't peck at each other. They're so crammed in that they can't grow properly. They can barely stand on their own feet because they're just raised in such an unnatural environment, and it's heartbreaking. So I really like to promote those farmers who do raise chickens in a more humane way.
I wish
and that goes for
everybody
all animals too, not just chickens.
Yes.
And
I didn't mean to interrupt your flow, but I had to know what a chickeny life was all about.
No, that was good. That was actually entertaining. Just imagine a chicken walking around, just pecking and tilling. How important do you stress on people educating themselves about their body, you know, about their cholesterol and their blood pressure and things that obviously would lead up to how they would exercise and diet correctly?
Well, it is a good idea to kind of keep track of these things. But I think if you don't have the option of going and getting blood work done, or some people, you know, don't like getting their blood taken, at least if you try to eat a clean diet and you're feeling good, pay attention to your body and see how you feel. Do you have headaches? Are you sluggish? Is your energy low? If you do have a lot of symptoms, you know, constipation or diarrhea, and, you know, just the variety of anything that makes you not feel fantastic, because I think we're supposed to feel fantastic, and anything that's causing you to not feel that way is an indication that there's something lacking in your body, or maybe there's something, instead of lacking, there's something in your body that's not agreeing with you, you know, toxins or that. So paying attention to how you feel, and if you wanted to get some lab work done, that's a great idea. Keep a look at your, not your total cholesterol, but maybe your triglycerides and your HDL, which is, you know, the two markers of cardiovascular disease that really mean something. Total cholesterol is, there's a lot of information out there about cholesterol. You can look up on the internet, and there's, you know, different schools of thought, but there's more and more information out there about the importance of looking at triglycerides and HDL as opposed to your total cholesterol, which doesn't really give you a full picture. And blood sugar is another thing too that's way out of control with a lot of people. So being able to keep track of your A1C or your fasting insulin as opposed to just your glucose tells you a lot too.
And knowing that you do, you like to dig into like the digestive issues and stuff like that, are you a big advocate for, you know, they have like the cleansers that cleanse, you know, the digestive system and starts your digestive system over? Are you an advocate for that, or is that more of a thing of, do you feel like you said, it's for everybody has their own kind of choice of what they want to do?
As far as cleansing goes?
Yes, how they have like the cleanse where it goes through like digestive and then like the colon cleanse and things of that sort. Is that something that you recommend?
Yeah, some of those are kind of fads. But I hate to keep saying that, you know, it depends on the individual person, but it really does. Some people don't need to go a full cleanse. That might be too dramatic for some people. It's best to start slowly and gently. If you're having, it depends on what type of digestive, you know, stress that you're having. If you have IBS, you might need a magnesium supplement. A cleanse might not be the thing for you, and it might be too shocking to your system. But if you're really healthy and you think you've got, you know, a strong gut, you don't have any problems, and you think just for health benefits, you want to do a green juice cleanse for a few days, that's perfectly fine. But to other people, it could end up just exacerbating some problems that they already have, if that, you know, that's not the direction they need to go in at that time.
Gotcha. Definitely understood. Earlier when we first...
It makes a lot of sense.
I thought you were still talking, Mary.
I was just saying it makes a lot of sense. That's all.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Right. I know what you mean. Earlier when we started talking, you mentioned something. I didn't quite hear you when you said it, but you wanted to hit on it. Do you remember what it was? It was going to be the next, you were talking about the sleep, and we kind of like talked about that in the dietary.
Yeah, we talked about what we call sleep hygiene, and, you know, the other side of that would be eating hygiene. And,
okay, so can you expound on that?
Sure. So eating hygiene is what you eat, but it's also how you eat. And that's the part we call eating hygiene is the way you eat to maximize proper digestion and proper absorption and digestion of your nutrients. there are people eat in such a hurry. They eat in their cars. They eat while they're walking. They eat while they're talking, watching TV, all kinds of things that distract them away from eating. And also a lot of people have indigestion and acid reflux as a result of just the way that they're eating. So a few things that we can really do to help maximize our digestion, limit acid reflux. One of the main things is just to slow down. Slow down while you're eating. Chew your food very, very thoroughly, because actually digestion really begins, the chemical part of digestion and the mechanical part of digestion begins in your mouth. You're chewing the food up really, really well, and it mixes with an enzyme in your saliva that starts to break down carbohydrates. So the more you're chewing your food, the more the breakdown in digestion is already beginning. By the time it gets to your stomach, it's already got the job started, and it's a lot easier for now your digestive enzymes and your hydrochloric acid to kick in and start taking over more of the digestion, and then the absorption of your nutrients happens next after that. So if you start out chewing fast or not chewing thoroughly, by the time the food gets to your stomach, it's already bigger pieces than it should be. It doesn't digest properly, and it can cause bloating. It can cause gas. The carbohydrates tend to ferment a little bit if they're in the stomach too long because they're not getting digested properly. So slowing down chewing properly makes a big difference. And another thing, we were talking about drinking water earlier, how important water is. It's very important, but it's not really that important to be drinking a lot of water while you're eating with your meal. A lot of water right before your meal and during your meal tends to dilute your stomach acid a little bit, which is another thing that can affect your digestion and slow it down. If you're really thirsty, if you drink, maybe give yourself 20 minutes after a big glass of water before you eat, and then just eat enough with your meal to help swallow, and you don't want to choke. But so just, you know, sips of water throughout your meal, and that will actually help the hydrochloric acid in your stomach stay strong and do the job that it needs to digest all that protein.
Right. So it's drinking.
Yeah.
Is drinking a lot of water a good thing? I know obviously water is good for you, but you know, people are like, you know, drinking a lot of water is good for your skin, you know, your hygiene, things like that. So drinking a lot of water is good, just not during when you're dining.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. If you can sip on water throughout the day, that would be perfect. Drinking too much all at once, you're probably going to end up just eliminating a lot of that. Drinking it slower throughout the day, it absorbs into your body better that way, easier that way. Your body's not going to absorb. If you drank a big, giant, you know, glass of water, that's not all going to get absorbed in your body right away. It's going to, you know, it's going to make its way out. But if you're sipping throughout the day, your body's absorbing it throughout the day, and you'll be more likely to be avoiding dehydration that way. But like I said, with the meal, a lot of water is going to end up diluting your stomach acid, which is very, very acidic, and water is neutral, and it's going to adjust the pH in your stomach to a little bit more alkaline as opposed to acidic. But you really need the acidity in your stomach not only to digest proteins, but that also kills off pathogens. So any pathogenic bacteria that have come in possibly with your food, they get killed off with your hydrochloric acid in your stomach.
Perfect. That was actually the answer I was looking for.
So
we are getting ready to come close to our end. Can you give our viewers your website so they can get into contact, get any kind of information that they would need?
Sure. My website is called aligningwithhealth.com, or you can reach me through my website, or you can also email me directly. It's Heidi@aligningwithhealth.com.
That's perfect, and I think Mary will make sure to get those as well and make sure to talk about her post as well.
Heidi, I appreciate you coming back to finish the conversation.
Right, and I could probably keep talking for hours. I feel like I've just been running
we'll
on and on.
We'll have to
and
have
on.
You come back another time.
Okay, sure.
We will
yes,
have you
yes,
come
please.
Back.
Right.
And, Tyrell,
and if anybody has any questions, wants any more information on anything, you know, please, you know, send me an email, go to my website, and I'd be happy to share more information with anybody who's interested.
Tyrell, it was good to have you back too, buddy.
Yes, it's been too long.
Yes, you got to slow down a little bit so I can catch up to you. And with that, I'm going to hit the button and dance us out of here with the chickens. It's actually called Dancing with the Chickens.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did. Be sure to come back the first and third Thursday of each month for more exciting guests. And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there. That's BUNEKE.org.
Bye-bye.
Bye.